What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to do some news before we take any more phone calls here. And this just gets better and better and better. Earlier, we were talking about this list of fake news websites being promoted by Harvard University. And it turned out that the list did not originate with Harvard University. It originated with an associate professor at Merrimack College in Massachusetts. And she's hardcore liberal. Hillary supporter. Her educational focus is social justice. She's a social justice associate professor or assistant professor. And it turns out Merrimack College itself, which is a hub of liberal hatred and totalitarian censorship, is such a poor college academically. Their business school failed to be accredited. Their business school does not have accreditation, and according to this article I'm looking at Natural News, graduates from Merrimack College are finding their degree is worthless. There are no academic standards there. If you have a degree from that college, you can hang it on the wall and say, I'm a college graduate, but nobody who's actually hiring for jobs that require skills, especially in science and technology, they're looking at these diplomas as an absolute joke. It's all an illusion. Now, getting on back to business and the economy, pro-European Union politicians are starting to realize just how harmful the anti-Russia agenda is to their own interests. And this is in response to the story that came out yesterday that the European Union has extended for another 6 months its sanctions against Russian individuals and organizations over their alleged role in the Ukrainian crisis, forgetting that the coup d'etat and overthrow of Yanukovych and the installation of Poroshenko was a U.S. operation. And the EU has dug in its heels. It's on this, we're going to get Russia no matter what. And politicians in the various EU member states are realizing this is harming the EU. And that, in turn, is harming their own political fortunes because their farmers are coming up and saying, look, we used to sell our product to Russia. We're going bankrupt here. We're starving here. What are you going to do? And because of the way the EU is set up, the politicians in the EU member states have no power and authority to change anything. So up in Brussels, they're out there stamping their feet and saying, we're going to stand firm against Russia. And yes, our farmers are going bankrupt and they're all going out of business, but that's a sacrifice we are willing to make for what we see is the greater good. Now, the numbers are not good here. It's very obvious that our stock market is, in fact, being rigged. It's way overvalued, dangerously overvalued. And everybody is saying, we don't know when it's going to fail. It's hard to figure out. And the reason is because there are so many underhanded things being done to keep the economy looking like it's still functioning. But it actually quit working as a real economy a while ago, and it's all being papered over with instant money pouring out of that Federal Reserve here. Now, the Treasury, of course, is already urging Congress to raise the U.S. debt limit to avoid a default. Officially, tomorrow is when the Treasury runs out of money. And so far, we're not seeing a whole heck of a lot of that being reported on the corporate media, whether there's going to be a big fight or if Congress is going to yield to the inevitable and go ahead and raise the debt limit. And of course, the liberal Democrats, oddly enough, the ones who love to tax and spend, they're opposing a raising of the debt limit because that would give Trump the room he needs to start implementing his infrastructure policy. And they don't want that to happen. They want to cut off the flow of cash to Donald Trump in order to hamstring him. And for that reason, they want the debt ceiling to remain where it is. Now, GOP is still in charge of Congress right now, so it may be a faux effort. Meanwhile, down in Venezuela, which is a predictor of what is going to happen here in the United States of America, their inflation has jumped 741%. At this point, a total collapse of their currency is inevitable. They are a victim of U.S. economic warfare, U.S. attempts at coup d'etat and overthrow because they dared to sell their oil for currencies other than the U.S. dollar. You're not allowed to do that. All natural resources are traded for the U.S. dollar so that anybody who needs those resources has to come to the United States and borrow those dollars at interest. The private central bankers must have their piece of the action. We'll send the enforcers out. We'll send the button men, the mechanics, the Navy, the Army, the Marines. Do something bad to you if you don't give the Federal Reserve a piece of the action. Now, Toshiba is apparently moving forward. They're looking seriously at a bankruptcy plan for their troubled U.S. nuclear affiliate, Westinghouse Electric. And that may be in part because of the backlash to the Fukushima disaster, which has resulted in a lot of countries that were considering nuclear power plants are now pulling back from those plans. And so anybody who is building nuclear reactors right now is in serious, serious trouble. Remember Snapchat, their IPO was up there valued incredibly, incredibly high. According to CalPERS, they're now saying the share should be considered junk equity. One of the biggest fails on the stock market. Huge IPO, we're all going to be rich. And the investors said, no, we don't think so. We've been suckered enough. Another scandal that still needs to be looked at, Barack Obama stole $260 billion with a B from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac investors for the Obamacare bail-ins. Remember, Congress wouldn't pass that money for the bail-ins for Obamacare. So Obama just basically took the money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and he did not actually have the legal authority to do so. All right, we're going to grab some more phone calls. Kevin in West Virginia, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Mike, how are you in Bizarro World?
Well, please clarify.
Well, I just think we live in a Bizarro World. You know, what's upside down is right, and what's right is upside down.
True.
I have a couple questions for you. I've been reading about this health care and everything, and under Obamacare, I have a pre-existing medical condition. I have what's called retinitis pigmentosa. I'm losing my eyesight.
Yes.
And under Obamacare, you know, I would be called no longer useful for the state and probably be euthanized. Under this Obamacare light, am I still facing the same consequence, I guess, for my eye disease?
My understanding is that the reforms to the new healthcare package, and they're not calling it Obamacare Lite anymore, and they're not calling it Trump Care either. It's just healthcare reform. They are making provision for pre-existing conditions because of the way people with pre-existing conditions were shortchanged in Obamacare, where people, you know, Obama's out there saying, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. And people with pre-existing conditions were keeping their plan. And all of a sudden, the plans got canceled. And they got an Obamacare compliant plan. And it said, we're disallowing your pre-existing condition. So that is where people like you really got screwed on that. And what we're hearing is that the new plan will, in fact, make allowance or adjustments for people with pre-existing conditions who previously had insurance for those conditions. But in the end, you know, they're talking about this possibly coming up for a vote next week, and they've spent a great deal of time in the corporate media. But in the end, I'm not expecting that this is going to work because nobody is really addressing the true problem with American health care, which is its extraordinarily high cost and its very poor quality and the focus on chronic treatment of symptoms perpetually versus actually finding a cure that returns healthy working people to the workforce.
Yeah, I understand 100%. You know, there is no cure for my disease or a treatment. I also wanted to point your attention. I have a video on YouTube, and the video is named a personal message to Hillary Scumbag Clinton. I think you ought to check it out and maybe post it to your website.
All right, I'll take a look for it.
Do you want the YouTube channel?
If I just do a YouTube search for Hillary Scumbag, I should find it, right?
I think you should. My name is Kevin Ballum. If you're looking, it's my name. Is my channel name.
All right, I'll look for that after the radio show today, okay?
All right, thank you, sir. You have a great day.
Same to you, and we're going to switch over to Dan in Washington State. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking the call. about North Korea, do you think, I kind of missed what you said about the money system, but to me it all seems pretty staged. It seems like if you look at Vietnam and Korea, it's kind of like we have a backroom deal with China just to take out any of its competitor. I don't know, the whole thing just seems so fake to me that we're friends with China, you know, and exporting our jobs there and have this huge deficit. And then they supply Korea, and then we're supposed to pretend like Korea's our enemy, but ignore China's influence on Korea.
Well, again, China has sent diplomatic messages that in the event of a war involving North Korea, they're going to be disinterested. And as a matter of fact, obviously, North Korea did not improve situations I think it was a steel embargo that just hit, I think, about a week or 2 weeks ago. But China does not want a war with the United States of America, and they've sent the diplomatic signals. They're not going to get involved in such a war on North Korea's side. I think what they will do is try and say, we are neutral in all of this, to continue to do business with as many people as they can around the world.
Well, I hope so. One reason I voted for Trump is he was one of the only ones smart enough to say, you know, China has a lot of control and, you know, let China take care of North Korea. And it seemed like if we would put pressure, like a tariff on toys or something, would have a bigger impact on North Korea.
Well, what you've just pointed out is another area where I keep saying the problem with President Trump is that he is as dangerously naive going into the White House as Jimmy Carter was. Too much of Donald Trump's worldview is still based on what he was getting from corporate media, even though he is now aware of the extent to which corporate media lies. Because the issue was not about letting China take care of North Korea. The agenda was always finding a way for the U.S. to get into North Korea and replace this very impudent, independent North Korean government with another U.S. puppet regime.
Well, okay, I guess we'll all stay tuned and see what happens. I think it just seems like we're kind of the military arm of this new world order. I mean, China just sticks back.
Absolutely. And, absolutely.
You know, but anyway, thanks a lot for taking the call.
Yep. NATO is the enforcer of the new world order in Europe, and the United States is the enforcer of the new world order over on this side of the planet here. Now, let's talk about immigration, refugees, and so forth and so on. Thousands are fleeing Bulgarian refugee camps trying to get into Western Europe. So far, 3,500 since the start of this year. The problem is not going away. Meanwhile, over in Great Britain, an Albanian asylum seeker has been found guilty of murdering these very old British people, pensioners. And he tried to hide the pensioner's body in a tarpaulin in a water-filled ditch. He actually confessed to one of his friends that he had done this when he got arrested and taken into court. He tried to claim it was mistaken identity. All of us Albanians look alike. But he has been found guilty. And again, when you have this migration process, it's acting as a filter. You are not getting the very best of the people from those source countries. You're getting the people who couldn't make it in the source countries. You're getting people who are fleeing prosecution for crimes they've committed. You're getting people who are carrying contagious diseases. You're getting people who couldn't make it in their own countries coming on in. Now, getting on back to the Netherlands, there's been a big debate between Mark Rutte and Geert Wilders, in which Wilders basically declared Rutte that Erdogan's hostage. It's time to close the borders. And, of course, the current Dutch prime minister is very much on board with Angela Merkel and the globalists and the open borders. And even though it's just precipitated a tremendous disaster, but the globalists don't care. They're looking at it as a period of adjustment. We're going to drop the borders and blur everyone together, and yes, there's going to be rapes and murders, and there's going to be crime and drugs, and we're reintroducing diseases into parts of the world where they'd previously been eradicated, and we're probably going to see some epidemics, but it's a small price to pay for that dream of a one-world government and a human race enslaved to a global private central bank in perpetuity. That's what they dream of when they go to bed at night. Meanwhile, over in Naples, where they're having violent protests by the anti-immigrant, anti-Euro Northern League leader, riot police have been deployed against them with tear gas and water cannons saying, "You will accept the new world order. You will accept the new world order." Breaking out into the open here. All righty, we're going to go to the phones. Bruce in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?